What's up? Welcome to a bonus episode of the One Inch Barrier. I am your host, Juan Carlos Ohana, and I hope you're all staying safe and staying healthy. And in the case of the Philippines, stay at home. All right, so a quick reminder that this is part of the 2016 retrospective, where we talk about the films that were nominated alongside Iran's The Salesman. We have already discussed Denmark's Land of Mine. In the following weeks, we're going to be discussing Australia's Tana and Germany's Toni Erdmann. So episodes will be available in full on Patreon. Yay. All right. So for this bonus episode, we are going to talk about Sweden's official submission for Best Foreign Language Film at the 89th Academy Awards. That film is A Man Called Uwe, or in its original language, En man som heter Uwe, written and directed by Hans Holm. So for a quick summary, this film is about the titular character Uwe. He is a grumpy retiree living alone in a home, like in a housing project, where he is forced to live with neighbors that he doesn't like living with. And he spends most of his time either bullying his neighbors to submission to the regulations of that area and visiting his wife's grave. And because of that, like, monotony in his life, he has attempted multiple times to end his own life. But the arrival of a new neighbor kind of changes things for him. And he would then have a friendship with that new neighbor. All right, so that's a quick summary of A Man Called Uwe. Our guest for this episode is from Brazil. You've already heard him way back in the first season, where we talked about A Fantastic Woman in the films of 2017. He loved that one. And he also went back in the third season, where he talked about Character in the films of 1997. He didn't love that. So he is a blogger at Cinematic Tips, and I'm so happy to have him back. I didn't realize that it's already quite a while, so I'm excited to have him back. Please welcome Ronaldo Trancoso Jr. Hi, Ronaldo. Thank you so much for coming back.
Hello. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, of course. And I feel like we've been like talking constantly since the second episode that you came, the character episode, that I would always remember that episode. Just like, oh, we talked about the film, the winner, for 45 minutes, and we talked about the other films for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Since then, yeah.
The last time was this year or last year? Like, because of the pandemic, it's so confusing in my head.
It was, yeah, I know. It was in October.
Yeah.
October.
Yeah. A year.
Oh my gosh. October last year.
Yeah.
And because we've been like chatting pretty much constantly since then, I didn't realize that it's already a year. Oh my gosh, we're so old. Anyway, I'm excited to have you on. Like I said a while ago, anyway, before I continue, can you tell the listeners where can they find you on the internet?
Oh yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ronaldo Trancoso. Yeah, like there's my blog. Yeah, my blog, cinematictips.com. You can find me there, where I review movies and predict awards, stuff like that.
Yes, of course. All right.
It's in Portuguese, but there's a button for you guys to translate it if you want.
Oh, there's a button.
Yeah, like a plugin.
Oh my god. What I do is that I copy the review and I paste them in Google Translate. Like, oh gosh, I'm so old. Ah, I'm so stupid. All right. So I kind of prefaced a while ago with the two episodes that you've been in. Because A Fantastic Woman, you loved it.
Yeah.
Character, mm-hmm. Not so much. This is your third. You sent me a GIF. I didn't know what it meant. I want to hear it now. What did you think of A Man Called Uwe?
Let me put it this way. I think it's basically the Green Book of Sweden. Does that clarify things?
I want you to expound on that, because I kind of like Green Book, but I know it's problematic. That's not a good thing to say, but that's where I stand with Green Book. So can you expound on that?
I think it's like a very heavy-handed like dramedy, and it's very problematic, like on multiple fronts. I don't know if we're supposed to already start talking about it, or if you
go ahead.
I don't know. It's basically heavy-handed and on the nose from the start. Like 5 minutes in, we're like, okay, we get it. This person is awful. He hates the world, even helpless animals, and it doesn't get that much better, I think. What do you think about that?
I think.
Did you like the movie?
All right, so I would quantify my opinion of the film, in the sense that my opinion hasn't changed since the first time I've seen it. I don't love it. I actually can't even say that I like it. But there were parts of it that resonated with me, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
That even if I don't love the film, there were aspects of it that clicked with me emotionally. When I watch A Man Called Uwe, I think I'm just like, I don't have excitement in this, in the kind of trope that it it follows. You know, it's the cliche that the grumpy old antisocial. I think it's not antisocial. Like, there's a right word for that. That he hates other people, but there is like a deeper, a more kind of tragic backstory behind it. And then once we find it out, then the person, usually a he, starts opening up and builds relationships with the people that he originally hated. I think we've trotted that path. And it felt like when I was watching A Man Called Uwe, it's like, this feels familiar. I don't have excitement to watch it. And it is also, it has this cynical, maybe the main character is kind of cynical. But in as much as I do feel that the concept, I also find problematic, not just the relationships that he built, but also like the foundational aspect of it, of it being this person that is so unlikable, and yet not unlikable, but, despicable, openly despicable. And then it has this structural issue of going back in time for so long for us to understand it. I understand why they're doing it. I just don't like the choice.
And the way they do the flashbacks, it's so weird, because sometimes they use that just to kind of break the momentum of the suicide attempt. And other times it's just the scenes are just there. And sometimes it's like his childhood, and then his adult life with his wife. And it's so like random.
Yeah, I agree with that, in a sense that some of the flashbacks, I think it gets, tell me if you don't agree. I think, my voice is breaking, what's happening? That the flashbacks kind of worked better as it went on. I really struggled in the earlier flashbacks because I wasn't, it felt like a distraction. I understand why they put it, because it was like, you know, when he tries to kill himself, it's like remembering what is happening, what has happened in his life. It felt like a disruptive element in the narrative. And it's too long.
Yeah.
But then I just got used to it as it went along.
I think I get that. I think we kind of get used to it, and we don't bother as much, because the last ones are focused on his wife, right? And that character is it's like a lovely character. We kind of root for her, even though she's very like one note. But I think that's why we kind of, we don't bother as much, because now it's a little more interesting than his drama with his father and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is. The character of the wife, I forgot the name of the wife, Sonia.
Oh, yeah.
Sonia, right. Yeah, the character of Sonia really is the one that kind of gives the film more an emotional resonance, in a sense that Sonia is the manifestation of, because she is literally the one part of Uwe's life that he lost and meant so much. So we would see then Uwe with Sonia is a little being, or already kind of have an oddball sensibility, Uwe before cutie, but without Sonia in the picture, Uwe is just this person that hates everyone. And so Sonia has to be a true character and at the same time an idea.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't really, the film doesn't really succeed that much in making her a character, but as an idea, her presence works.
She reminds me of that trope, like the manic pixie dream girl, you know, that cute girl who kind of helps the macho guy like learn and become a better person, and she's very like offbeat and but on the same and also she doesn't have like a lot of depth. I think she fits that mold.
Yeah, I kind of see what you meant by like the manic pixie dream girl the trope. The weird thing is I feel more connection with the flashback scenes, but they also don't feel important. So I would then, like by instinct, I should lean towards the present scenes, but the present scenes feel monotonous in its kind of oddball, almost like a bitter tone, which fits the character. But it just said I think it gets old a little bit easy, and yeah. Some parts of the story can get gimmicky, because I think there's a little bit sense of that it's not entirely realistic, and or maybe just a little bit idealized version of Uwe's life. I get what they're doing in the present. I just don't think it's connecting to me as much until the end. Until the end where he, yeah.
I think the main issue is that there's no suspense. Like there's no, like we know he won't actually kill himself, right?
Yeah.
So those attempts, they're just there to make us laugh, which is a whole problematic issue, and the present scenes, they don't have any suspense at all. Like he's just there, and then he's just like having these interactions with like minorities, and they kind of help him, and he helps them somehow, and which is another like tired trope.
Yeah.
And the climax, like there's no really emotion, like that there's out of nowhere there's this villain who is very like one note, and he's like a caricature that I don't remember his name or even why he was there. Like it was so the structure of the movie is very weird, and it's based on a book, right? I don't know if the book was like this or not, because I haven't read it.
Yeah, I think one of my main gripes with the film is the structure and how it kind of affected, because I already have problems with the tone that it was striking. I would admit Oh no, I'm gonna get canceled. Some of the his failed attempts at suicide, some of them I actually found funny, but because it's because the character is I think it reaches the film reaches a point where it's showing Ova as pathetic or like is, you know, with his motivations of killing himself, basically. It is something that we know is kind of, the film kind of takes it lightly at the beginning, which for me, you know, that feeling when you laugh and then you feel guilty, like, why did I laugh on that one? So immature of me. But I think, you know, the suicide attempts, how it depicted those, in the context of the film, I get it, but I also understand if it feels unpleasant, because I think the tone of the present scenes, especially the character of Uwe, is he's openly unpleasant, and I think the film kind of embraces it. And I don't know, maybe props to the film for not trying to shy away from the unpleasantness of the character, at least on a social level. But, you know, women don't get away with that in film, just them. In that sense, it's a struggle for me to connect with this character. Yeah. I started to connect.
Like, the suicide attempts, like, they bothered me a lot because I thought they were, like, really offensive. Mainly because of what you said, because they want us to laugh. They want us to see that as like a comedic scene. They are really dramatic. And I think it's just tasteless when they use like something like that in a very reckless like way. And not just that, it's the fact that like one scene he's like he's losing his job, and then the other scene he's already attempting to end his life without making us really understand how he truly got there. Well, I mean, we know like, oh, it's been 43 years that he's had been working there, and his wife is dead, but it's not, they don't develop the character really well. And then so something happens, and then he stopped the attempt, and then on the next scene he's already like living his life again and forgot about his pain, you know. And then two scenes after that is the same thing. He tries again, and then something funny happens. That was like really, really tasteless to me.
I have a question. Do you think it's possible to create that scene? You know, I mean, the suicide attempts do have this darkly funny tone, making fun of his, I don't know, his ridiculous disposition in life. You know, it's almost as if, I don't know, do you think it's really possible to do it funny? I mean, not necessarily funny, but for in the context of a drama comedy, without reducing the weight of the actual course of action, which is a suicide attempt. Do you think it's possible?
That's a good question. I think it is, because I am trying to remember the name of the movie, Harold and Maude.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's lovely. It's a really great movie, and it. It does that, like the whole movie is like that, and I think it achieves what it wants, because it sometimes makes us laugh, and it has some suicide attempts that are played for laughs. Yeah. But I don't know, the way it was filmed and the screenplay, it isn't like with this movie. It's more delicate, and it has more depth, and I don't know, the director is sensitive enough to create something that isn't like too broad, you know?
I agree. I think in that kind of situation, the you know, it starts with the writing, but it also in terms of the filmmaking, you have to be both bold and sensitive in handling that, because it's such a challenging thing to do. It's very high risk. If you don't pull it off, you are disregarding. Best case scenario, you're just like an inappropriate or immature. Worst case scenario, you are triggering or diminishing the weight of the situation. But I think with very skillful writing and some really specific directing or directorial choices, it could probably work. But it would be coming from a film that is bold to really push and complex in fleshing out why are we seeing this scene in a darkly comedic way. It takes a certain kind of ambition, or at least so much layer in making that work. I don't think A Man Called Uwe is a complex piece of work. That's why its attempts to show those suicide attempts in a darkly comedic way, they don't always hit. I mean, like I said, as a human person watching it, my gut reaction was to ha ha ha, but it's not necessarily a laugh earned, but it's more like, oh yeah, because he was kind of ridiculous. He was angry when he couldn't do it, so like, okay, that was kind of ridiculous in terms of his character or in the performance, but it's not something really well earned, and it's not something that, you know, maybe there's a space in filmmaking where you can make something so dark, so funny, and also truthful. That's really hard to do. I don't think A Man Called Uwe really aims for that.
Yeah, the way the it's not just the screenplay, like the way the director films, it's really weird. Like even some more dramatic scenes that are supposed to be like 100% dramatic, they are unintentionally hilarious. Like both scenes involving trains, like the one where his father dies and the other one where he saves some guy. They're supposed to be really like dramatic, but they are actually funny because the way the director films it, films them, it's like so weird.
Yeah. And also simplistic.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, Suicide for Dummies. Like,
yeah. I mean, even the whole situation, I mean, the film is also it's Suicide for Dummies. It's a cohabitation. It's like I don't know, integration, cultural integration for dummies. It's I don't know. Was he a racist at the beginning, or was he just he hates everyone?
Yeah, the movie doesn't really goes into that, but it's kind of implicit, right? Like it's kind of that straight white old man is probably racist based on how he treats his neighbor and it's very confusing, like, because sometimes he, even with the animals, like at first, like he hates that cat and he's hissing at the cat all the time. And he's mad at the cat for no reason. And then out of the blue, he's defending the cat from a neighbor. And okay, everything is so like sudden and out of the blue and happens for no reason whatsoever.
Hey, what's up? Thank you for listening to this preview of this bonus episode. If you want to hear more, please head to patreon.com/theoneinchbarrier. For only $4 a month, not only do you have full access to bonus episodes, but you also get early access to regular episodes. Again, thank you so much, and together, let's break the 1-inch barrier.